This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. The holidays are a terrific time to eat, drink, and be merry. But those drinks don't have to contain alcohol to be festive and delicious. We are going to talk now with two local bartenders and business owners who specialize in now non-alcoholic fermented drinks. We'll discuss how the Sober Curious movement has been growing and get some recipes for tasty mocktails and tips for what to have on hand for sober celebrations. Joining me now are Val and Yazzie's Sober Shack, co-owners Valerie Deal and Yazzie Walker. Thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I'm excited about this. Valerie Deal is the daughter of WGUC host Elaine Deal. So clearly this is in her DNA to be on the radio with us today. Do you have questions about making a good mocktail? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. Valerie, I'm going to start with you. You've been a bartender for a while now in town.
Yes.
What have you noticed in terms of this sober, curious movement? Have you seen a greater demand for drinks that don't contain alcohol?
Oh, yeah, certainly. And also just a greater demand for that being like readily available on a menu, too. I think Yazzie and I both have actually been bartending for about, well, I've been steadily doing it for about 12 years, and he's definitely been doing it for a lot of the same amount of time. And we will both admit that we were even part of, you know, maybe 10 years ago, the culture of like, what's this guy doing drinking a Sprite in this bar, you know? And that's definitely not the case anymore. There are plenty of people who are just completely sober for, a number of reasons. But there are also people who will have a cocktail, have a glass of wine, and then go, can you just make me something NA? Because I'm going to go to dinner later. I don't want to, like, be hungover tomorrow. I don't, you know, the pressure to continue to drink just because you are out is certainly still there.
Yes.
and we try to, it's our responsibility as bartenders to kind of shut that down if we do see it, because you could be not drinking for any reason, you know.
Right.
But yeah, it's definitely not the same as it used to be.
Yeah. What have you noticed, Yazzie, in your years as a bartender?
I've noticed the same. I'll piggyback off what she said. I was one of the most terrible, terrible bartenders.
Don't say that, Yazzie.
Why are you coming to get this experience from me and not get the alcoholic experience?
Yeah.
With like, I don't understand. You're at a bar.
Do you not like me?
Yeah.
It's like, it's weird. And then once I started to become sober 4.5 years ago, I did a lot of reflection and was like, that's such a nasty attitude that is not just me, but it's a reflection of just more the environment of just, why is it weird that like I go into a bar because I just want to interact with people. I don't want to go to a library and just like read and just like feel the energy of people. I want to go and maybe read a book, and then I accidentally have a really cool conversation with a stranger, but I necessarily don't want to be inebriated. I just want to socialize because we're social creatures. And so I've been seeing totally, especially I think the pandemic was a big part of that. I think a lot of people had to sit and kind of deal with maybe some drinking issues. But they also were yearning, of course, to be back around people. So when things started to open back up, I think more spaces and opportunities for the less drinking spaces started to open up, because that's, you know, people changed pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's such a great point. You've mentioned a few of the reasons why people don't necessarily drink alcohol. Valerie, you were talking about, hey, maybe I've had a few, I want to taper back because I don't want to, you know, I've got to drive home later or whatever. What are some of the reasons you hear from customers or friends? What do you think is more the things that are behind this kind of sober, curious movement?
I'll say a lot of people these days, you know, I think for a while, a lot of people used to do like dry January or like that kind of thing. But I know a lot of people that are just like, I'm just not drinking. It's been about 3 months. I'm going to drink again, but I'm not for now. Sometimes it's nice to maybe reset the tolerance slightly, as a bartender, I've had people come to me and, you know, maybe their family doesn't know that they're pregnant yet. And they're like, can you make me secret non-alcoholic drinks, you know, or something like that. Or also sometimes people are just not drinking because they just don't want to drink. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What are some of the things you hear from folks, Yazzie?
The one thing that I've seen really, truly, I accredit a lot of it to just our pandemic experience of just having that time that we'll probably won't have in our lifetimes again to just sit down and really reflect. So then when people came back out, a lot of people got access to therapy. A lot of people started to really get more into themselves and see, why do I go and want to drink this much? It's a lot of people actually saw that they necessarily didn't have an alcoholism problem. They had a social anxiety problem. And so they get around. They're not going to go home and they're not going to, you know, like just drink themselves to death when they're at home. But when they get out, for some reason, when they're around all these people, they want to do all this drinking. During that time away from people, they got to actually get, whether it be the all amazing access to mental health information that we are like really, really privileged to have now, or whether they went to professional therapy, they got to actually get resources to address that. So then when they went back outside, they kind of more demanded the environment kind of carved to them, as we should. The environment should be carved to us. So if I want to go to a brewery, I would like y'all to have like one or two like NA like beer options for me, because I would like to have a couple of brews with the homies.
Sure.
But yeah. I don't want to be excluded from that experience. So I saw the demand and like power to the people. When the people show what they want, the businesses will respond, because they want you in there to spend some dollars.
Sure. The people have money to spend. The businesses want to figure out what to sell you.
Absolutely.
The fancier your mocktails, the more you can charge for them.
Seriously.
You know?
Absolutely.
You don't just have to give sober people Diet Cokes.
That's right. Yeah. I want to remind our listeners, we're talking about sober holiday celebrations and getting tips for making tasty mocktails. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk@wvxu.org. And we do have a caller on the line. Hey, Amy, thanks for calling. What's your question?
Hi, thank you. Yes. I'm curious of what are some good adaptogens to try. I'm specifically looking for something that's not alcoholic and discovered adaptogens. So I'm just curious what your experts have to say about that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry. Can I ask you what you're kind of looking into so far in your research?
Yeah, I've tried this brand called Moments, and it kind of got me that really laid-back feeling that I used to get when I drink like a glass of wine with dinner. But it had erythritol in it, and that's just the chemical that I'm trying to stay away from. So yeah,
yeah.
I like the way it made me feel, but I didn't like the ingredients, so I'm kind of looking for something like that. I was looking at L-theanine, I believe it's called, and turkey's tail, and a lion's mane, and there's so many out there, so I don't really know which ones would be the best.
Yeah, I was gonna mention turkey tail and lion's mane.
And Valerie, can you first explain what an adaptogen is?
Like, yeah,
some of us are clueless.
It's stuff that makes you feel stuff, kind of. So I know that probably what Amy's talking about, there are a lot of products on the market that I haven't personally necessarily delved into, just because I'm not, you know, sometimes it's kind of like you know, they'll advertise it as, you know, like this is an alternative to drinking that can cause like, you know, relaxation, or this can give you like a little bit of like energy, that kind of thing. And it's not, you know, maybe not just caffeine or something like that.
Right.
You know, so if you're like trying to be social or that sort of thing. Yazi and I are actually both very into making our own tinctures, and we are working on a reishi tincture right now, a reishi mushroom tincture, which has like a lot of mushrooms are adaptogenic, which reishi mushrooms have qualities that will kind of what is it, Yazi? So they'll
reishis particularly are for the synapses in your brain and overall brain health, and so more damaged parts of your brain, it'll actually help rebuild over time. And they're just still doing more scientific studies, but in real life practice, I've seen a lot of really healthy results, but it just promotes really overall just brain function. So you're able to actually like, you don't feel high or anything. You just feel like, wow, I'm supposed to feel like this. Mm-hmm. So like adaptogens, I love adaptogens because how I view them, they're carriers. So whatever like you're using as your adaptogen, it's going to carry that immediately to where it needs to go. My personal favorite adaptogen is cordyceps. So cordyceps tincture is amazing. Cordyceps is a mushroom. People might be familiar with it from The Last of Us, and they might be scared of it. But cordyceps, don't be scared of cordyceps. That is science fiction video game. Cordyceps are amazing. What they do is they make oxygen more available to your blood system. So just by doing that, you will get a huge boost of energy, because now your oxygen is your blood is filled with fresh oxygen. Mm. So now if you were to maybe put a maybe some ginger or some turmeric, some concentrated ginger or turmeric with that Gordyceps tincture, now you have a potential ability to now burst anti-inflammatories through your system, but then not have them just rest in your gut, actually send those properties through your system to actually like have a dramatic effect. So those are Cordyceps is my personal go-to. Since it is actually about to be legal here December 7th, cannabis is a total great adaptogen to use. We also make a thing called fermented fruit juice, and fermented plant juice is our main living syrup that we use. It's a natural farming method. It is also an adaptogen that has a bunch of enzymes and nutrients based on the organic matter that you're mm-hmm. using.
Okay.
So there's a bunch of different awesome ways you can make it yourself.
Yeah. Thanks for that call, Amy. We appreciate that. I hope that helps. Well, let's talk about some of these fermented juices that you all create, these tinctures. Yazzie, I understand you're the person in this partnership who kind of brought the fermented juices idea to the business. Tell us about what these juices are and what inspired you.
So these juices are all of the cocktails, the mocktails, all the recipes are from Valerie, first and foremost. Just like they are the best, I call them the flavor maker. in America and arguably the world, they can't be confined to just this area. But I got the inspiration from a natural farming seminar and course that I took. It was a 40-hour course that I took in Tennessee in 2021, and I learned how to regenerate the soil. And one of those methods is there is an input called fermented fruit juice or fermented plant juice. So in this method, all you do is, this is all just like in theory, you have to play with stuff, but you take equal parts organic matter by weight and equal parts, immediately you can brown sugar, but since we use like nice drinks, we use Demerara sugar. You take those and then you chop them up and then you gently massage them together in a bowl and then you put them in a glass jar and then you put a breathable lid such as a paper towel and a rubber band and then you put it in a cool dark place anywhere from 2 to 7 days depending on what you're doing and it turns into a syrup. This syrup is alive. And what that syrup does is if you used like fruits, it's going to take all those enzymes and nutrients. If you use plant matter, it's going to take all those growth hormones and nutrients. If you're doing the plant matter, those growth hormones do not convert to humans, so you cannot use them as human growth hormones. Only for plants because this method is wonderful because it's food for humans and it's food for plants. And so it's really cool that you can actually see how you getting your soil health better is actually internally making your internal soil, which is your gut, better.
Okay.
And so it's kind of if you're a person that needs to see to believe, you can see I'm putting this on there and it's making it better. Oh, wow, I can consume this. It's making me better now. So then in the middle of the class, I was like, I raised my hand and I was like, And his name is Chris Trump. He's my teacher. No relation to Donald.
Yeah.
His own. I was like, so essentially this is a living syrup and you could like make mocktails with this, right? He was like, yeah, just dilute it and absolutely. And just make sure it's in safe amounts because it is concentrated nutrients and enzymes. So dilute it so it's fine. And yeah, absolutely. And wow. I was like, oh. Bow. I have an idea. I think we can do science and feed people like actually healthily, but can you make the drinks?
And how does this fermentation differ from the fermentation that creates alcoholic spirits?
Yeah, so this is a quick ferment. So okay. You do have to pay attention, just same as like a kombucha ferment. If you allow these ferments to go too long, they will turn alcoholic.
Okay.
So that's why that 2 to 7 day period is very, very important. So in this process, when you do it, you equal parts brown sugar to organic matter, chop it up, massage it gently so every piece is covered in sugar, put in a glass jar with a breathable lid 2 to 7 days, and then you strain it in a jar. You strain it in a double strainer, but don't press.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get as much liquid as you can, you want to get another clean glass jar and put about 1 centimeter of sugar in there. And then by doing that, you put it in there and then you can put the syrup back in there and cover it with a non-breathable, just a sealed jar, a lid. And then you can either leave that out and it will not turn alcoholic, or you can omit that process and put it in the fridge and it won't turn alcoholic.
Okay.
If you just leave this process to continue to go, those sugars then will convert into alcohol.
Okay.
So that's why it's very important to make sure you're getting it in that time. But you can smell it and it's kind of not edible at that point. You won't want to consume it once it gets to that point. So it's like, it's fun. It's very fun.
And with kombuchas, and also even with like open orange juice left in the fridge, there's always going to be trace amounts of alcohol, you know, like that kind of thing. So that is something to keep an eye on, I guess.
Yeah. Valerie, let's get to some recipes. How do you turn these fermented juices into tasty non-alcoholic drinks?
Kind of haphazardly sometimes, but I always just kind of use whatever is my fermented product as the base for that. I will often, you know, say I'm using a beet, you know, and I fermented a beet and I got fermented beet juice. I will often then still use a little, take some raw beets as well and use fresh beet juice just to kind of like have those two interact. Add some sour, add some sweet if I need to add some sweet, but usually I don't because like we said, it is, you do come out with basically a live cocktail syrup. So that would be like your sugar, except your sugar is now good for you, which is lovely. And then I'm a really big tea person. So generally if I need to kind of like add another layer or balance something out, I'll add some kind of tea or I'll manipulate the tea by adding, you know, other extra spices, extra herbs, extra that kind of thing.
Oh.
You know, all cocktails are just sour, sweet, and spice.
You make it sound easy, but I feel like it's probably not.
She really does that. She's like, oh, yeah, it's just that. I'm like, so I should have brought my notebook every single time I talk to you because I even as my 10 years working, I didn't know that. Okay, awesome.
Well, we do have a caller on the line. Hey, Randy, thanks so much for calling. What's your question or comment?
Hi there. Thank you so much for taking my call, and good day to everyone. I appreciate the conversation and consideration of non-alcoholic beverages as alternatives, as well as some of the references to medicinal uses of mushrooms and some of the other the fermented drinks that you were mentioning. I really appreciate that. I consider myself straight edge. I guess, you know, just a real proponent of moderation in general. I think there certainly is a place for, you know, some social drinking. And I've been a long-standing proponent of the recreational use of marijuana, so I'm glad issue two passed. That said, I do have a lot of concern about the tendencies towards extremism in our culture, in which we seem to have a real fast food mentality where we want what we want when we want it. And I think I've also... You know, I think, for instance, with the alcohol culture that we tend to live in, that, you know, alcohol is portrayed as a cool beverage. I see that with the kind of the IPA microbrewery movement, and that's great. The problem is nobody really talks about the devastation that happens from alcohol. So I'd love to hear about the non-alcoholic alternatives.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Randy. I apologize. I'm going to have to stop you there because we're running out of time, and I want to see if either of you want to respond to some of those thoughts that Randy shared.
Yeah, so immediately, kombucha was my first go-to for NA options just because I love soda. It took me a while to like get to like the flavor, but like I like the feeling of not feeling... like I just drank a Tahitian treat and, you know, maybe a shiso kombucha, you know, it feels a lot better. That was my first alternative. And then truly, like Valerie said, teas. I love tea so much. Iced tea is one of my favorites. Those are my two like go-tos. And I love almond milk with some honey warmed up every night. I think that's really nice.
When I'm
not lazy, like and I'm like, I feel like going to sleep. That's just a great drink.
Yeah. That's great.
There's also just there's full NA bottle shops popping up even in the Midwest, even not just on coastal cities. But there's, you know, people make, I'm obsessed with these. Okay, again, I'm a tea person. I'm obsessed with these. They come in a champagne bottle and they're sparkling tea.
Oh.
So it'll be like Darjeeling, you know, ginger, lemongrass, whatever else, but it'll like, or they have some that'll like mimic a rosé, like a sparkling rosé, but they have the fizz of a wine.
Mm-hmm.
But they are literally just tea and they're that. There's I know Toast, like TOST, is one brand that has like a little two dots over the, I apologize, I don't remember what that's called. There's one called Copenhagen. I think they sell them at Liberty's Bar and Bottle if you want to go pick those up. There's these little cans. They're NA aperitif sodas called Ghia, G-H-I-A. They use, it's escaping me what grape that they use, but they use a grape that's generally used to make wine. And then they'll add like sumac and, you know, all kinds of other little roots and spices and that kind of thing to make it into like a nice little aperitif soda. They're not sweet. They don't taste like a Coca-Cola. They don't taste like a lemonade. There's layers and there's, you know,
flavor
sour
profiles.
And yeah, yeah.
It's an experience. Mm-hmm. It's not cranberry juice.
Proxies. I'm obsessed with proxies too. Those are wine alternatives that are made by a former sommelier. They don't taste like wine. They're not alcohol removed wine, but they do have all kinds of different ingredients to kind of build the complexities of a wine that would complement food. So if you buy them in like, you know, you can order them online and you can get a bunch of them, a bunch of different kinds. And they'll give you like, you know, this one, the light, tart, juicy red kind of complements these types of foods. Mm. And even these recipes and these ingredients and that kind of thing.
Oh,
they're very fun,
great.
Too, for a holiday nice. Party.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Randy. I'm sorry I had to cut you off there, but we appreciate your listening. And I can't believe we're running out of time, but real quick, Valerie, if somebody's looking for, hey, I'm hosting, I want to have something to buy, where should they go to look for a good non-alcoholic beverage?
Like I said, they're kind of everywhere now. They really are.
Okay.
If a bar doesn't carry NA options for people, they should not be in business anymore these
All
days.
All right, there we go.
Clifton Market has a huge selection of dozens and dozens of NA beer wine options.
Oh, nice.
Clifton Market.
Okay. Yeah, they do. They definitely do.
Well, I've been talking with Val and Yazzie's Sober Shack co-owners.
Sober Shack.
Valerie, that'd be fun. Valerie Deal and Yazzie Walker, thank you both so much for your time today. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WBXU. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.